We put the strong boys to work. And you all laugh, but those four gentlemen were not laughing with that job. They were cleaning out this the ditch that goes along the front of the road to make sure that the water could actually flow. And there's one equally on the other side that they did as well. And like I said to you, they were willingly and joyfully did all the things that they were asked to do. And then Peter, they didn't like him, so they just sent him to the back of the yard and made him work all alone as he was cutting down all the trees. I apologize, young people, like if you weren't all in the pictures, because I just grabbed three or four to not make this a long ordeal. And once again, we were so happy to help Sharon in any way that she needed to be helped, and her neighbor as well. If we have to do it again next year, we'll be here, right, guys? Amen. So, come on up, guys. We're going to start with the first song. John was our song leader. So during this session, you'll hear John sort of instructing. Yep, four here, and line up in line. Okay. John, you might have to be at the front, John. Ben.
Back to Steve.
They are going to do this up and back, and only because I love them so much that Ben threatened that it might be a long, he might be up here for a while, so we thought we'd let them sit down. Isn't that what you said, Ben? Anyways, they'll introduce themselves and then give their testimony.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ethan Malmer. I'm from the Denton, Texas Assembly. My testimony is one that most of the members of my congregation are going to remember, probably better than me because I was pretty young. My best estimate is that I was somewhere between 8 and 10 years old, but I don't remember. I remember we went on a Boy Scout or a Cub Scout camping trip, and my dad at the time had rolled or sprained his ankle really bad, and I, from what I remember, it was I suppose it was pretty swollen, and I think he was limping pretty bad. And I remember going to church that day, and they had a time where they prayed over people for healing, and my dad and I think Sister Jean Haney went up, and I don't remember if there's anyone else. But what really struck me was this was the first time I really saw God in action. Right after the prayer, it was pretty entertaining watching my dad get up and start skipping around the room, and Sister Jean following behind him, it was a pretty impactful moment. Not at the time, because at the time I was too young to understand fully what was happening. But as time went on, I started to kind of grasp how big of a deal that was. You know, as you get older, you move out of your parents' house, go to college, you get all these pressures on you. From the outside world, you know, temptations, doubts, and especially when those doubts start to come into my mind, and I wonder, you have a lot of doubts, and I just immediately think back on that, and it's hard to discount God when you've seen what he can do right in front of your eyes. But I was young, but it was a very impactful moment on my life. Yeah, thank you.
Amen.
Hey, so I'm Peter Kaufman. I'm from the Charlotte Assembly, and I grew up in the church, and I grew up hearing the sermons, and I would like to say that when I was growing up, I knew what the scriptures were, but knowing didn't always mean following. So when I was around 8 or 10, between 8 and 10, I kind of started going on a downward spiral where I moved away from the Lord and stopped really focusing on him. And I started moving farther and farther down. It really just became a downward spiral that was going to where there was no return. It was just very bad in terms of I had issues as far as talking with people was kind of difficult. I know I was a lot angrier. I had lots and lots of issues with socializations and things like that. And then I remember, I don't know the exact time range, but I went on a camp to Pensacola. I guess it was probably around when I was 13 at that point. And so I went to a camp, and it was a Christian camp down in Pensacola, and it was on a college campus. And there I got to learn a lot more about other people, and I got to hear the gospel there and really have that. And I warmed up to it there. And before that, I knew about the gospel, but I didn't really fully understand it. And I did not take it into my heart and actually fully believe it. And so at that point, it kind of worked. There was a work in me that was occurring throughout that. And it came to fruition on the last night. The preacher there, I remember that he was very good at he was very good as far as speaking, and he could really hold the attention of everyone who was there, and he did a good job with that. And at the end, he had an altar call, and I remember when he was doing the altar call, he asked that anyone who did not know where they would go that night to come up, and assure that they would actually go to heaven rather than the alternative, which was hell. And so I was really moved by that, and I went up there, and that night I accepted the Lord into my heart and actually fully believed it and started moving forward with it. But I'm very prideful, and I like doing things on my own, so even after that point I hadn't fully embraced it entirely, and so I still wanted to do it my way, in a sense, and so I took more of a rule-based path, so more like legalism, and that also took a downturn because I was not accepting that Jesus was forgiving and that he would love me if I even threw the sin that I had, and so it kept going and getting worse and worse, and it eventually got to the point where there would be no return unless the Lord made a change. And so I went that winter. I went to young people's camp. I forget if it was the first or second time I'd gone, but I went there, and the message is there really spoke to me as far as like what a Christian is supposed to be and the love that Jesus shows to us. And while I was there, I realized that the path I was taking was not the one that I should be on. And Jesus really changed my heart there and kind of pushed me back onto the right path in terms of where I needed to go. And he just put happiness back into my heart because before I'd been really sad, really depressed. Like, it was not a good time. And I had basically secluded myself in my room and would do almost nothing because I knew I would did it break one of the rules I had set in place, or sin, basically, and do something like that. So I had it trapped myself, but going there, Jesus freed me from that. He gave me happiness, joy, acceptance, and just the ability to get over what had happened to me in the past and what the grudges that I was holding on to. And then another event that was really impactful on me was this past year I got to go to Haiti over the summer, and I was there for a week. And so while I was there, I saw that they were really, really poor, and they didn't have much. Most of the people there still lived in the housing that they received from aid after the earthquake. So there were just little tents and shacks. And so they would group together. They would have eight people to the size of my bedroom, or half the size of my bedroom, which isn't very large. And so they would be packed in there, and they would just embrace everyone and have a community. And the nearest church was often a mile or more away, and even though they didn't know how they'd get there, every Sunday they found a way to make it and just faithfully went and attended no matter what the circumstance was. And that was something that was very moving, and it was something that I don't think I'll ever forget. It's something that's helped me move forward.
I'm Benjamin Kane. I am with the Kingsport Johnson City Assembly in Tennessee, except my family actually lives in Georgia. So we will actually do a video call with the others. I'm actually the one that said I would take a long time. So I decided I'm going to one-up Kelvin and have a real long sermon up here. No pictures. Last year, I had the privilege of going down to the Caribbean with my Boy Scout troop, and we went sailing for a whole week down there. And on our last day, I woke up in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, and my anchor watch shift is in four more hours. But when I woke up, I realized I could see the stars like I'd never seen them before. I could see the band of the Milky Way, though faintly, I could still see it, and I'd never seen that before. And I realized that God had woken me up to see His glory in His creation, which I knew existed. I'd seen it in pictures. I studied it in class, and I love science, so I knew it was real, but I'd never seen it with my eyes, and just seeing it just really impacted me on that. And what I took out of that was that the scripture says that God knows the names of every star and calls them forth each by name. And how much more is He going to know me and my heart and my thoughts and how much I do or don't love Him? And my prayer would be that I would love Him a lot and not have a dark thoughts towards Him. But that is something I've carried in my heart for the past year, seeing the glory of His creation and knowing that He loves me. I have another testimony I'm going to give. This one's more recent. This past summer, I had my wisdom teeth removed, and this was the biggest ordeal I've been through in a medical health standpoint, as routine as it is. Mom had never had wisdom teeth, so I was hoping that I wouldn't have wisdom teeth, but that's not how it worked. When my orthodontist and my dentist took the x-ray and told me I had them, they were impacted and they needed to come out, and I had no room in my mouth to hold them if they weren't impacted. But, that'd be bad if they weren't impacted. I kind of forgot about it for a month or so, and then my mom scheduled an appointment with the oral surgeon, and when I went and saw him, first thing he cut right to the chase. The first thing he said is, "We're going to give you an IV," and that's the last thing I heard. When I woke up, I was in a totally different room with who knows what on me. But after that, I was apprehensive about everything. I mean, we had a beach trip coming up in about a month, our family. And as much as I enjoyed the beach, I was apprehensive because I knew I was going to get my wisdom teeth the week after. So beach comes along. I enjoy the beach, but not as much as I usually do. And when the day of surgery came, my mom drove me to the office. And not long after I sat down in the waiting room, they called me in. And mom didn't come with me, so that's not cool. And I was so afraid of that IV. I hate needles. I know a lot of people hate them too, but you know, I feel like I'm the only one that does. I mean, I went in there. Mom's not there for whose hand I can squeeze, so I'm squeezing the nurse's hand, but of course I don't realize it because I'm so afraid. But next thing I know, I'm in the car driving home, and I thought, I was so sure, how in the world am I going to pass out if I'm so sure that I can keep myself awake? Not that I wanted to be awake, but after recovering and having no complications, I didn't have any swelling, and I was not in very much pain the day after. I realized that if I can get through routine surgery that almost every teenager goes through, how much more can I get through anything else? I mean, I realized that God, even though I felt very weak in the knees to think about what I was going to go to, I made it through. I survived. And I actually testified on this at our local assembly a couple weeks ago. But it brings the verse to mind is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And as I told our local assembly is, each day we get up, we have to remember that we can get through anything. We just have to have the strength of Christ. We have to pray to Him and ask Him to give us exactly what we need to get through each day. And it's a battle. We have to take up our cross every moment. We can't just pick it up in the morning and think we've carried it the rest of the day. We have to consciously remind ourselves to do the Lord's will. And it lasted a whole 2 weeks. I was thinking, I was running through my head. It's like, I can do anything. Nothing scares me now. Well, not anymore. I'm scared of needles again. But I got to remind myself, and we all should remind ourselves that we can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's something we have to do many times a day. But with His strength, we can do it, and there's nothing that can hold us back.
As they gather themselves again, I'm going to go back to what Ethan said. I remember Ethan playing a football game in Indiana and ended up being injured. And we prayed for him, and he was doing a little dance, Dad, at the back of the young people's that night, too. So, anyways. Well, yeah, I should give you the song, shouldn't I? Daniel, Caitlin, and Ryan. Oh, I got it. Just a technical difficulty. We'll solve that problem right now.
All right, I'm Daniel Wilkerson. I'm with the St. Louis group. My testimony happened a few years ago when I was about 15. I was coming from a separation from a family. that it was just an awkward situation. I was very frustrated, had a lot of different anger feelings towards a lot of different people and towards myself for different situations. But one year, the Jeffers took us to Henry Camp, and there was an altar call. I had previously, you know, I had accepted the Lord when I was about 13 years old. I had accepted him, and, you know, I loved him, and I had faith that he was watching me, but couldn't grasp the understanding of why, you know, I was going through the situation that we were going through. So I guess during that camp, you know, there was a lot of, that year, there's a lot of speaking on being able to adapt and to look towards the Lord for the problems. And I had been finding myself through the frustrations that I was going through, moving further and further away from where the Lord was directing me. And so that night, at one of the Henry Camp meetings, there was an altar call. And I could feel the Lord pressing on me to go up. It was very kind of pushing back, like, no, I'm not going up. I'm not going to be in front of everybody. And but I had seen my siblings go up. I had seen them start crying and, you know, praising the Lord. And it kind of touched me to the point where, you know, I was like, if they can do it, you know, surely I can do it. So I find myself not really meaning to, but walking towards the front. You know, as I get up there, I could immediately feel the Lord reach down and grasp me. The elders came, they laid their hands on me, and it was the first time I had ever felt the Holy Spirit dwell upon me like he did. Through the prayers of the elders, I began to speak in my personal language, which I had never done before. Which was crazy at first, but it was the most graceful, most powerful feeling I had ever felt in my life. And the burdens that I had felt while I was standing there trying to fight the Lord, saying, no, I don't want to, not now, had completely left. I had just found myself just overwhelmed from the glory of God to this day when I find myself, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm frustrated and I'm in a lot of stress. I think back upon that day and just praise the Lord for bringing me from a situation of life to where I am now. So I'm completely grateful, and that's all I had today. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Caitlin Mulmer, and I'm from the Denton, Texas Assembly. This testimony, I believe it was put on my heart, not only because it's a landmark in my walk with God, but because I believe it to be the first landmark in a friend of mine's walk with God. So, a couple weeks ago I went to choir camp, and I didn't particularly expect it to be a huge spiritual week for me, but of course, God kind of surprises you a lot. So, first night, after I had met my roommate, I was reading my Bible just before going to bed, and she asked me what I was doing. So, I told her, well, I'm reading my Bible, and she asked if she could come read along with me. And I forgot to mention, she grew up in a non-religious family, and oh my goodness, she was just, it's crazy that she was just so optimistic and kind. She had dealt with anxiety and depression, too. So just that in itself was just huge inspiration for me. but I read Chronicles 29 aloud to her, and she asked questions. She was just genuinely curious. And I believe that curiosity just came straight from the Lord. That the Lord just really wanted that for her. But this whole thing just is so encouraging to me that God is looking out for all of us. And he's putting us in people's lives, and he's watching out for everyone, even those who have never known him or spoken to him. And it was just a huge blessing to be a part of her life. Thank you. My hands are like really tingly. So my name's Ryan Luff, and I'm from the Kingsport Johnson City Assembly, Georgia thing, I don't know. And so about a year ago, I got a new hammock for like Christmas or something, and I was going out to hang it up, and I hadn't realized I had hung one end to a really big dead tree. And I jumped in, and it snapped. And the 300-pound tree fell on my back. I know for a fact that God's hand was on me in that moment and watching over me. And so he gently laid that tree down. I was left with only a few scratches and a couple of bruises. My dad went back to the tree and told me that I should have broken my back. My scratches were healed in a matter of days, and I'm completely fine. This is just one of the many times in my life that God has lovingly laid his hand on me. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.
Thank you.
Owen Dawson.
My name is Meredith Jameson. I'm from the Denton, Texas Assembly. So when I was thinking about landmarks in my life, I had a hard time choosing just one because God has just been so good, and every time I've had to make a big decision, and I've been making a lot of them lately, but just where to go to school and where to live and where to work, he's just always made the way really clear. But I'm going to talk about one that happened fairly recently. So about a year ago, I graduated with my master's in speech pathology and was looking for a job as a speech therapist. I went to school in Colorado, but was hoping to find a job in Houston, which is where my family lived. So I had been praying in college for several months while I was still in college, and just about where God would want me to work. So I started submitting a few applications, but didn't really hear anything back. I was starting to feel a little overwhelmed because there were just a lot of different options, and I didn't exactly know what kind of setting I wanted to work in. So I started to look into this private like speech therapy clinic that was pretty close to where my parents lived. So I looked at their website. There weren't any positions available, but it just said that they were always looking for therapists and gave the phone number to like fax your resume in. And then throughout this process, I was calling my parents pretty frequently for advice. And one of the times I told them that I was looking into that private clinic, and my mom told me that like the same day she had been looking at the same clinic and was feeling like I should apply there as well. So it was kind of a confirmation that I should go ahead and submit my application there. So I sent it in and then just waited to see what would happen. In the meantime, I did hear back from a couple of the other places that I applied, but they just didn't seem to fit right. And then I did get a call back from the owner of the clinic that I had applied to. She told me she wasn't positive she had a position available, but that she actually had been praying about whether she should take on another therapist, and then like the next day she got my resume. And so, and this was my first conversation with her. So I thought that was really cool that she was that that open about it. So she said she would think about it and then get back to me if she had a position. And then at this time, I actually was just about to head to North Carolina last year, so I was just headed to camp. While I was here, I started to hear back about another job, but it just kind of fell through. And then I got another call from the owner of the speech clinic in Houston. She told me that she had decided to add a full-time position for a speech therapist and wanted to know when I would be available for an interview. And then, so fast-forwarding a week or so, I went through the interview process, and she offered me the job. And then just all along the way, I just with all the confirmations that I got over it, I just knew that wasn't a coincidence, and I knew that had to be from God. So I ended up accepting the job and have been working there for about a year now. But it's just been such a blessing. It's so my commute's about 15 minutes, which if anyone has been in Houston, that's practically unheard of to have a 15-minute commute. And so I'm really fortunate, and my supervisor is really a godly woman, and she's really open about her faith. So it's just been such a blessing to work there, and it's just been a really good experience. And through all of these experiences, the verse that keeps coming up for me is Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So through all these things, I've just been reminded that God definitely has a plan. He is interested in everything you do, so even things like going to school or where you work. and that if we are faithful to seek Him and to commit our ways to Him, He'll show us what His plan is. So, that's it.
I'm sorry, I have stage fright, and I just forgot everything. I'm Bo. I'm from the local assembly in Tennessee, Johnson City. I'm sorry. And I'll just go with it. Since fifth grade, I've been attending a private school where I can speak about my faith openly, and it's awesome, and all my friends are Christians, and one of my friends invited me to a youth group. I'm sorry, I forgot everything. I have no idea why. I have horrible stage fright, but anyway. And he's a really good guy, and he's changed my life for the better. But one night I was doing homework, and I was doing lots of homework, and my heart just started to, it just hurt over my friend. Like, I don't know why. Just something came over me, and I just started praying for him. And I prayed, and I prayed, until the feeling just exhausted away or went away. And I went to school the next day and I asked my friend, did something happen last night? Because my soul was just at an unrest for you and I prayed for you. And he said, yes, it had been a really rough night for him last night. But he got tired and went to bed, so nothing bad happened. And I was like, pretty cool. And it blessed me by praying for him, and it made me like, I didn't know God could work through me like that. And it blessed me, and I think it blessed him, and just made me feel really good. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dawson Jeffers, the son of Maria and Greg Jeffers. And I feel like God has had his hand on my life since the first breath I took, and before. Whenever I was born in 2003, my dad said that I came out looking like a Smurf. I was kind of blue and purple. Apparently I wasn't breathing right, so, yeah, so the doctors knew what to do, and they got me looking right, and my Smurfy appearance started to disappear, and I looked like a normal baby. And one might say that was just luck. I mean, the doctors went to college. They knew what they were doing. They should know what they were doing, or because they're delivering a baby. But I believe that it was God's work in my life, because there's so many times whenever something good happens to us, or we avoid a risk or something just by a simple decision we make, and a lot of times we can say, boy, we sure got lucky with that decision. But really, it's God's work in our life, changing our minds and doing His work in us. So that was one of my first landmark experiences, although I can't really remember it, but it gives me encouragement to know that I'm still here. So my second one was actually here at North Carolina Camp, as are a lot of my landmarks, are at camps. But whenever I was baptized at 9 years old, it was at the old Wingate College, and I went up and I asked my dad, I was like, Dad, I need to be baptized. I mean, this is what you do if you're saved, right? And he was like, yeah, we can get you baptized. So me and Levi got baptized on the same day, and it was a really cool experience. And it may be a spiritual term, you go in as an old man, you come out as a new, but even though I was a little kid, I literally felt like whenever I had gone under, I don't know, I just felt like normal. And whenever I came up, I was just overwhelmed with the Spirit of God, and I felt filled right at that moment. I didn't know what was overcoming me. I was bawling my eyeballs out. But so that was definitely my first landmark experience that I can remember, having the Spirit of God on my heart. The third one was at Pine Hill Camp about 2012. I was about 10 years old, and I was just starting my walk with Christ as I had just gotten baptized and all that. And we started off the weekend, and it proceeded as normally, but, I mean the week. But at the beginning of the week, God had put a tune in my heart, but he hadn't given me any of the words or any of the lyrics. So I was humming this tune all week. The first service, I hummed it to mom, and she didn't know what it was, and I really wanted to find out this song because I wanted to sing it in church. And so it was just like a long time of like, I wonder if anyone's going to sing this song. Like, I hope someone will bring it up. But the last service came, and the praise and worship section, it was good, but my song didn't come up during it, and I was kind of bummed out, and I sat through the rest of the service kind of slunched, like, man, my song didn't get sung. And it was actually Brother PJ Matthew that was preaching, and whenever he was done, to close off the whole camp, he said, wait, let me sing a song. And he said, let's sing Here I Am in the Red Book on, I forget what page is it, but It was the song that I had been humming the whole week, and I was just overwhelmed with joy, and I felt the Spirit of God come on me in that moment in a rushing wave like I had never felt it before. And I ran up to the front and started singing it with him because it was really cool. And I mean, whenever you accept Jesus into your life, it's an act of faith, and you know that he's watching you, but this was kind of proof for me that God is real for sure, and this is kind of what sealed the deal for me. So then in 2014, when I was 12, back at North Carolina camp, they had an altar call, and I had heard Mom and Dad talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophesying, and obviously I had heard them prophesy and speak in tongues my whole life. And this really interested me because I had no idea why they were just speaking gibberish for no reason or suddenly like talking like they were God. I was like, what are you doing? But I learned that it's God empowering you to speak his literal words into a meeting and edify the bodies of Christ. And so in 2014, when I was 12, they had an altar call for being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I decided that I wanted to be part of that. And so I went up to the front, and I got prayed over, and Brother Prasad prayed over me along with some others. And he started to pray, but it was kind of like a prophecy, and it was really encouraging, and in essence, it was that God has a plan for me in my life, and he's going to use me as an instrument for his glory. And that was really encouraging. And I've held on to that prayer. I don't know it exactly, but I know the theme, and that's that I'm chosen, and God's going to use me. So that was one of the big parts of that night. And then also, they prayed for me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in my personal prayer language for the first time, and it was the most wonderful thing I had ever experienced. I thought, man, this is great. I don't even know how it could get any better, because I just stood up there and just praised the Lord for 30 minutes straight, just speaking in tongues and shouting it out, and I was so full, I thought, this must be it. Like, it doesn't get much fuller than this. This is about as good as it gets. But I was not very smart in thinking that. So that was when I was 12. And then in 2015, my first year to be able to participate in Young People's Camp. And that was an experience. I'll tell you a little bit about Young People's Camp before. Young People's Camp before, because I had gone as like a not a young people for, I think, not a young person for about 3 years. And I noticed it was pretty much like any normal teenage group of kids gathering together. There were friend groups, cliques, people sat at their lunch tables, and you sat at your own lunch table and stayed there the whole week. Services, especially night services, dragged on, and people were just ready to get to the circle games. That was pretty much what we lived for. And I mean, that's pretty normal for a bunch of teenage kids. But this year was an extremely different experience. The second night, I think it was the second night, but whatever, it was still great. There was a new kind of spirit with us, and it was one that we'd never seen before, and or at least that I had never seen before. I'm still pretty young. And it felt like we were part of one family. There was passionate, earnest, late meetings. We, instead of like trying to hurry it up and get to the circle games, I mean, we probably played 3 circle games the whole time there. The majority of the nights were spent in the meeting room praising God and singing songs and or altar calls. And it was just amazing to bond with my friends here. And it was more than just a bonding experience for them, but it was a bonding experience for us and the Holy Spirit. He definitely filled each and every one of us in a way that we had never experienced before, and God proved me wrong. I wasn't as full as I could get, that's for sure. So that was a great experience, and people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit left and right, prophesying, speaking in tongues, and I think somewhere along there I prophesied for the first time. And the thing about prophecy is that it edifies the body of Christ, but whenever you prophesy, it's just as much of an edification to yourself as it is to them too. I know that whenever I minister to other people, like it builds me up just as much, and if not more, than it builds up whoever I'm ministering to. And that just proves to me that I need to minister more. I thought after this, I was like, okay, this is as good as it gets. It doesn't get much better than this. I mean, look at what's around us. But God proved me wrong again. And every camp that I've been to since then has just been like insanely overwhelming Holy Spirit filling. And every time my cup gets a little bit fuller. And the way that I look at it is that God's filling us in this way. Because in Psalms 23:5 it says, you have anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. And whenever we're overflowing, we're not just being filled with the Holy Spirit, but our cup is overflowing and we're filling other people too. So people at school, our fellow believers, it doesn't matter who, but The key that I want to get across here is that God's outpouring is never ending. There's no end to it. There's no limit. And once you're full, or I guess once you're full enough to minister to others, you'll start pouring out to others as well. And I think that's the key, is to be able to witness to others who either have or have not been accepted Christ. Because that's the Great Commission, and that's why we're here on this earth, is to be edified and to edify others.
Jade, Sarah, Kara, and Lisa, please.
Hi. I'm Jade Oliver, and I'm really nervous and shaking, but it's fine. I've gone through a very tough time in my life, not because I'm not surrounded by amazing people or anything like that, because I am, and I have the Lord my God as my Savior. And when I was about 5 years old, I met one of my friends who would be my best friend all the way up until about a few months ago. And he was, when I turned 13, he became very physically abusive. And he pretty much destroyed my life with the Lord and made me feel like I didn't belong anywhere and didn't have the Lord and my Savior as the Lord my Savior. And after I really broke off that friendship for about a year, I dated this boy. And we dated for about a year and a half, from 2016 to 2017. And he was verbally abusive, but not physically abusive. And he would go off with other girls instead of hanging out with me. And that hurt a lot. And it caused me to start cutting myself, and I came to camp last year in the summer, and I was prayed over for it, and then we went to a beach trip, and I met this Christian guy, and he was really sweet, and we were just friends, and I came home one day after a fight with my mom, and it wasn't even a big fight, but I took a lot of pills, and all I remember is I passed out, and I woke up in the back of an ambulance, and I was taken to a hospital, and then they transported me to a mental hospital, where I was surrounded by people that really understood what you go through in life. And it was just really hard for me to go through that. And I'm sorry. And without my parents, I don't know what I would do or where I would be in my life right now. I don't know where I'd be without my godmother and my grandmother and my little brother and sister and my siblings and just everyone here at the church. And then in December of this year, or last year, I met a boy who really changed my life. And he's a good Christian guy, and he's here today, and I'm glad to say that a week from tomorrow, I will have been engaged for a week to him. And I know I'm really young, and you guys are like, oh my gosh, what is she doing? But yeah, he just really changed my life, and I don't know where I'd be without him right now, and I don't know where I'd be without my parents. So thank you.
Oh, there's water there. Okay. We actually came prepared with a song. Did you get the email?
Yeah.
We actually practiced this, so won't be quite off the cuff link. A bit about the song. It's a newer praise and worship song by a band called Hillsong United, but it's called So Will I. I know that there were a lot of young people who did love it, but it's a bit too complex, so we're the ones kind of singing it. But it talks a lot about how, about that submission and submitting to God and just worshiping the creator of the entire universe. And it's really encouraging in that sense of, I just hope you really listen to the words. It's a bit long, but it can kind of be repetitive, but if you're listening to the words, it just shows how, it just praises God for the loving Savior that he is, as well as the genius creator he is, and a creator like God, he is God, he's the only God, and because he is the creator, because he is who he is, he demands and he deserves all the praise that we can give him. And so I hope that while we're singing this song, you'll also be able to praise in any way you need to.
There at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, a if creation sings your praises, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. And if the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises shine, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. God of salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. where you lost your life so I could find it here. You left a grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. Thank you.
And I do have a bit of testimony. I think Ben thought he was going to be the longest, and then Dawson came up here, and I could surpass him if I wanted to, but I think I'll try and keep it shorter for you all. It's not exactly planned either. As Ethan before mentioned, I just finished my, well, you didn't mention this, but I just finished my first year of college, and as Ethan mentioned, this time of life just brings a lot of doubts, a lot of questions. You're surrounded by a world of people who are wonderful people, intelligent, beautiful people, and they all have different ideas. And you want to go in and give them the respect, but it's easy to start letting that respect turn into thoughts, and those thoughts can turn into doubts, and slowly spiraling until you have about 50 million conspiracy theories running through your head about how the world really came to be. I guess I just want to read a passage from Romans 1, 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. I think that defines a lot of the world that's out there today, and I think it's easy going out to that world to join those ranks of the foolish. A bit of a testimony part of that. I don't necessarily remember being saved. I do have I do have a memory of sitting on the porch in California with my mom and dad and praying a prayer and going inside. And after they told me to pick up the living room, doing my best job to pick up the living room, because by golly, I was a Christian now and I had to be good and I couldn't mess up or anything. But my mom says that even before then, apparently, whenever I was even younger than that, and I don't remember this, but apparently we were shopping and I started screaming and throwing a tantrum in the supermarket about how I don't want to go to hell. And she was like, well, do you want to like pray anything whenever like dad gets back? And I was like, no, I want to do this now because this is a decision that can't wait. So, and I guess with that, it's just interesting standing here 19 years later, someone who's just always been a Christian. I've never had those doubts. Well, I've had those doubts, but even growing up, I remember going through a phase whenever I was kind of 13, 14, where I went through a doubt where I went to bed for a few weeks, and I asked myself, what if there is no God? And the answer was terrifying. It was an abyss of uncomfortable silence. And doing that, barely being able to get to sleep. And even in those nights, occasionally I would just hear simple word. I would ask God, like, where are you? As I was doubting God, I was talking to him, you know, because that's how that relationship works. And I remember on just one night specifically, I just heard my name from somewhere that wasn't my own thoughts, and it was just Kara. And it was like just a confirmation that, like, God does know my name. But I think the interesting part of that is going through my life, I've always kind of hit those, you know, like you were saying the other night, like ministry, sometimes people are like, oh, did that, just check that off the box. Like, I've kind of checked all the boxes. And with that, God has definitely blessed me in it, and I know I have the faith to follow up with that. But sometimes my brain is in a point right now where it wants to deceive me that, oh, that didn't really happen, or, oh, you just didn't really see that. Like, it's not there. You're just fooling yourself. And especially this summer, this past year, just realizing how much I do rely on my mind and how that can sometimes block growing in the spirit and really connecting with God. And it's funny because even at this camp, I've felt the spirit and been tremendously blessed by it. Well, simultaneously, my head's over here going like, those 50 million conspiracy theories are still out there. And you still have to remember those because they could still be a possibility. And so it's an interesting dynamic, but I guess I'm going to go to Hebrews now, 11. I think that's all a favorite of ours. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I guess this is the encouragement I would give to you tonight. Faith is something we have to choose, and that's something I've learned this week and even heard beforehand, but it's hard to accept that we have to have faith. We have to be the ones that take that first step before God's going to come up and swoop us up and rescue us from whatever. I know it's easy. There's different scriptures that too say, like, you can, like, test the Lord and, like, you know, have an answer for your faith. But I'm realizing that if I spend too much time testing the Lord, I'm never actually putting any real faith into him. And so just realizing that I'm at a point in life where maybe my brain is blocking me from having a overly super connection with God, but maybe I do still feel all that. Maybe I don't remember as many landmarks. Maybe the fact that I got into a college almost with a full scholarship with in March whenever you were supposed to put your applications in back in like November. The fact that we were about to throw the pamphlet for the college away, and my dad was like, but this is the school in Fulton I've been telling you about for the past 8 months. We should really look into this. And it turns out they have a full scholarship available for me that I just was given. The fact that I got that, God just like completely threw open the door for that. And I remember in my senior year saying, God, I'm just giving this to you. I don't know where I want to go to school. I don't care what campus, what my colors are. Like, just as long as I get an education, like, that would be great. And he provided for that. And so even if you have doubts in your mind, even if you have questions going forward, you just have to choose faith and make that choice first. And I know sometimes there have been times like I'm like, God, throw a challenge at me here. And I can hear half the audience already saying, don't ask for that. It's worse than praying for patience. But realizing that I don't need to ask God for challenges, I don't need to ask him to come test me, but that I can stand here and it's my responsibility to make a choice of faith and continuing to make that choice, even going into a second year, even knowing that more conspiracy theories will be thrown at me, that you're at a point in life where you have to put your foot down and say, this is what I believe, this is what I choose, and this will be my foundation in life. And by that, who knows, maybe my life will be just peachy for the entire way through, and I'll just have to keep having faith. But I also have faith that God will be faithful to show himself to me, the more that I continue to step towards him. And so that's kind of a strange long testimony, but just an encouragement to keep having faith and keep going forward in life, not afraid of what could happen or what the other possibilities could be, but standing firm in your landmarks and the testimonies that you know.
Hello, I'm Sarah Willoughby, and I'm from the High Point Church. And so ever since I was little, I have been fighting a constant battle with, like, extreme anxiety. I have, like, a lot of pressures on me in my life, and ever since, like, 10-ish, I was a constant ball of nerves. Often I would lay in my bed at night, unable to fall asleep for hours, just because of the overwhelming thoughts I would have. And then one night, a couple years ago, it all became way too much, and I had stayed up all night, too scared to fall asleep, and I was absolutely miserable. I picked up my phone, opened my Bible app, and literally searched help. The very first verse that came up was Psalm 46 that says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Automatically, I felt an overwhelming peace come over me, and for the first time in years, my mind felt at peace. I then continued reading that, "Therefore I will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.'" So as I read this, I could tell God was trying to speak directly to me, telling me that I will not fall even when nations are in uproar and mountains quake with their surging. And from that night on, I have made Psalm 46 my life verse, in which whenever I'm the least bit anxious, scared, or anything, I repeat the psalm over and over and over in my head until I feel the same peace I felt that very night. And I'm so thankful for Jesus, and thank you guys for listening.
Okay, can you give me just a second? I have to grab something. I forgot. Okay, well, I have so many landmarks in my life that it was hard to narrow down to just a couple, but I just chose two in the last year. One is at, I guess it was, I don't know how long ago, but a few months ago, I was listening to the podcast from the 1978, I think, camp meetings, and there was, at one point, after I think it was Brother Miller prophesied a very powerful prophecy, the whole congregation started clapping in sync in the spirit. And I had never heard that or seen that in my life, and in all the camps I had been to, or at least not in my memory. And so I asked my mom about it. I was like, "What on earth is happening? Like, I didn't know this was a thing." And the anointing, even in the recording, was so powerful. It was just it just moved me so powerfully. And it just, it was amazing, just the power behind the clapping, and it was just all in complete sync. And then at one point there was someone who was playing in the spirit on the piano along with the timing of the clapping, and just the anointing was so powerful, even on the recording. And I just, you know, I still listen to it every once in a while just to just be encouraged by that anointing. And so at one point I thought I would really be encouraged to, if that happened at a camp, again sometime. And so I asked the Lord that he would just make that happen, just bring that to being in a camp soon, even at North Battleford Camp. And lo and behold, while we were at North Battleford Camp, it happened, and I hadn't seen it in all my life. And it was really moving to me that the Lord just answered my prayer just like that. And then the other thing, landmark in my life recently is my dad and I were getting ready for a concert. My dad teaches in a homeschool learning center, orchestra classes. And we were practicing a particular song which involved, it was like a country hoedown. And so it involved like removing your hands from holding and just clapping. So I, like, my violin was still on my shoulder, but I wasn't holding it, and clapping. And apparently the shoulder rest wasn't on very well or something, and it popped off, and because I wasn't holding it, it fell and hit the ground and cracked. And yeah, that was a big shock to me. I'd always been very careful with my violin, and I don't know. And so I about 5 minutes later, I got a notification on my phone. And side note, the young people at Indiana Young People's, a couple of years ago, we created a group texting thing so that all of us are connected to this, and we send verses on there or prayer requests or just encouraging quotes or stuff like that. And so right at that, so 5 minutes or so after I dropped my violin, Tara Lynn sent a message that said, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46, verse 10. And it said, "Stay calm, I will get you through this, God." And I started crying, and I sent the message back, and I said, "Thanks, Tara Lynn, I really needed that right now. I just dropped and broke my violin." So then she sent me a private message after that, and she said, "Hey, I'm sorry about your violin. Funny thing, I wasn't going to share that on our group chat, but I thought you might need it." And I was like, "Wait, you thought of me?" Like, it wasn't just that you felt led to put that on there right at that moment, but like God put me on her heart and said, "Lisa needs this right now." And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Wow, we serve an awesome God." That is so encouraging. I can't even tell you how much that means to me. I feel like God just gave me a huge hug through you. And I just, at that point, I broke down and was just weeping at the awesomeness of God's love for me. That even just in the little things of that, and I guess it is a big thing, but still, that God just wanted to show me how much he cared for me. And just saying, like, "I'm still here, I'm holding your hand, and I'll get you through this." And there were other things going on in my life at the time that I was struggling with too. But so anyways, I guess I should tell the conclusion of the story. Is a couple weeks later, I went on a trip to visit my friend in Iowa, and my dad decided to start shopping for a violin for me, and he found one on Craigslist that was $800, and he was kind of hesitant because he knows that if you don't know much about instruments, $800 is kind of on the cheaper end of violins. and he wanted to get me a good quality instrument. And so, but my mom convinced him to go look at it, and long story short, he was blown away by it when he started playing it. He was blown away by the sound, the tone of the music that came out of it. And so anyways, long story short, he bought it, and we have gotten it appraised since then, and it's worth $2,500. So I'm just still in awe of just God's hand in my life and how he just cares for all the little details. So thank you.
As is inevitable, we are going to sing one song that we all agreed would be our final group song. And Zach just leaned back to me and says, well, I told you I wasn't going to do one, but I think I need to do one now. So we think we'll call Zach up now.
Well, I just said to him, because I've been had on my heart, you know, we're talking about landmarks and really some impactful things happened to me in the last couple of years in high school especially. So if you don't know me, I'm Zachary York. I'm Stuart and Sherry's son, and I'm from Canada, and that's important because it's about hockey. And so I was playing hockey in my grade 11 year, which is juniors for most of you guys. We don't use that terminology. And I blew out my knee. So that's always a scary thing to happen to you when you go down and you can no longer put any weight on your knee and you know it's in the joint. You didn't break a bone, because breaking a bone is easy. It's an easy fix. Breaking a joint, that's not. So that happened to me, but it ended up not being as severe as it could be. So I recovered within like a month and a half, and that's just unheard of for, you know, messing up a joint. It dislocated, popped back in, is what the doctor said probably happened. Because they just x-rayed it, nothing seemed to be wrong. So 2 weeks in, come back, keep playing more hockey. A week in, I think it's like my second game back, boom, concussion. Just smack, on the ground. I didn't remember skating back to the bench. Fell down, got helped up by my teammates, didn't remember skating back to the bench, realized I was on the bench, and I was like, I'm concussed. So it was kind of a wake-up call, you know, hey, stop playing this game where you can get your brains knocked around and, you know, they're important. So end of the season, I'm sort of thinking, I don't know if I want to keep playing hockey. I'm going into my senior year. It'd be the last year playing hockey anyways. And just a final thing, final nail in the coffin was the hockey league that I was playing in said, all right, no more contact, you know. And, like, that's 90% of hockey. So why play hockey? So I finally said, you know what, I'm just not going to play hockey. I'm going to focus on school. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to focus on a job that I have. And I'm going to, you know, play some more Ultimate Frisbee, which was the sport that is the sport I'm doing now. Not so much as I was back in high school, but I'm playing it. And so I thought, you know, I'll shift my priorities. And I really think that that sort of thing is a wake-up call that God uses as a, you know, you look back and you go, you see these past events that you realize really affected your decision makings. And I think at the time you're thinking, you know, this happened to me. But then those are those experiences that God's puts you through to really show you what he really wants you to be doing and really wants you to be focusing on. Because looking back at my senior year, I don't know if I would have passed some of my classes if I'd been playing hockey, because I would have had that much less time to really do the work, and I would have been, you know, more tired every morning
whenever we're coming back from the games, because in that level, you're playing games at 10 at night, so you're not back until midnight almost. But, yeah, so I think that was just it's God showing me that he's really guiding my path instead of just sort of the, oh, you go through life and I'll get you through the hard times. It's less of a, I'll get you through the hard times, is more of a, I'm going to get you through life, because that's really the goal for him, is to make something out of your life. And, well, this camp has been great. And my dad ministering on my great-grandpa and my sister singing the New Jerusalem really got me nostalgic. So I was wondering if maybe we could close, after we sing our last group song, we could close with the Lord's Prayer and sing that, because that was one of Grandpa's favorite songs.
Come on up, guys. We're going to conclude with two things, and then we're going to sing. You can all stay seated. You don't have to come back up, okay, guys? Jade would like to read a scripture that she meant to read, and then Skylar's going to sing us a song.
It's really short, but it means a lot to me and had a lot to do with what I went through. So it's 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for you.
Above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Crucified, lay behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. He was crucified and laid behind a stone. He lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall and thought of me above.
Joel, I guess they're calling on you. They're all giving up on it. The Lord's Prayer. Can we stand? As you go to your beds this evening, I think the young people would encourage you just to remember the landmarks, the things that anchor you on the rock. And you know that the rock is solid. And as the young people have expressed multiple times to you tonight, that he loves you with an everlasting love. And let's remember Brother York. This is very touching to me. Enter the breezeway there at 9:30. I don't even know what time it is. It may already be that for all I know. You're going to go up the mountain. Pardon me?
It's basically 9:30.
Yeah, no, you have to go up in dresses. I'm sorry, ladies. Yes. Yes, quickly get ready. Everything's going to come here at about 9:30. And remember, if you're going to end up walking up or down, make sure you wear longer pants. If you're going to stay on the cut grass, you can put shorts on. Have a wonderful time of fellowship, and we'll see you all in the morning. God bless.
get my phone right now. And if you take my dad, we'll do that. I do too, but I mean, if we get left behind, we get left behind. You're going to have to hurry if you're going up the mountain.